This morning to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 28. Ezekiel, chapter number 28. Ezekiel, chapter number 28. Begin reading in verse number 11 of Ezekiel chapter number 28. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. But by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." Let's pray together. Dear Father, we do thank you so much for your goodness to us. We ask you, Father, now that you'd bless as we consider your word today. We pray you'd speak to us, Lord, the things which most we need to hear. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning I want to preach to you about this subject. And it's going to be a hard thing to preach because the devil's not going to like it. The devil was Satan, as the Bible gives us his name, Lucifer. He was the anointed cherub, as God said here. He was made perfect in beauty and ability until iniquity was found in him. And sin was found in him, and it was the same Satan who, being cast out of heaven that way, who came, and when Adam and Eve were on the earth, it was the same devil who tempted Eve to eat that fruit which she should not have, the same one who deceived her. That's the devil. Because of that deception, sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. And no doubt in his cruelty and in his hatred for us and for the things of God, he rejoiced in that. And no doubt in this day he rejoices in seeing people going away from God, being out of the house of God. He rejoices in seeing the war and the hatred and the turmoil. He rejoices in seeing people being more concerned about themselves than they are about others. But I'm glad to say this morning that the devil one day is going to meet his demise. The devil is going to meet his demise. He is not going to continue forever doing the things that he is doing right now. Not in your life, not in our country, not in this world, or in all of God's creation. He will one day come to an end. And this morning, I'd like to take just a few minutes to consider this and to think about and to realize that we are fighting a defeated foe. We are fighting a defeated foe. And he's already been defeated. He's running around. He's sort of like a cockroach. You cut off its head and it can live for a little while. But his head's done been cut off, folks. And we are fighting a defeated foe this morning. Let's consider some things about the devil. The Bible tells us here in Ezekiel 28, he says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." We see that one of the problems the devil had is pride. Pride. Because of his beauty. And we need to be aware, be careful, lest we be lifted up in pride. Pride is something that will destroy us all. Pride is something that will bring us to as much a defeat as it does the devil. You have to ask yourself this question. In 1 Timothy, Paul said this. He said that the man who would be a bishop, that he should not be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So what is it about pride? How can I tell if I've been lifted up by pride? Well, first you ask yourself, can you be arrested? I don't mean by the police. I mean, can your attention be gotten a hold of by God? In Nehemiah, he says, "And testified against them that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law, yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear." The question is, can you be arrested from your pride? You understand it? They knew what was right. They were told what was right, but the Bible says, and it's an interesting turn of phrase, he said that they withdrew their shoulder. That means they were at the work and said, forget it. They withdrew their shoulder. That's the result of pride. They withdrew the shoulder. Folks, there are so many people in the world today, they call themselves Christians, and I do not deny, in fact, I preach that there are biblical principles and standards by which a Christian should live. Okay? I don't go run around in the summertime in a pair of shorts with no shirt on. Bible says I should dress modestly. My hair is not long. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. There are principles and there are standards which the Bible requires for us to obey. But there are people today who know the standards and they'll put them in their life because they think the standard is somehow a magical course to get their desire from God. If I keep these standards, if I keep my hair cut short long enough, if I dress the way I should long enough, then God will do for me what I want. That's not what standards are for. It's just the opposite of that. Biblical standards and principles are to be lived by us because we love God above everything else. That's why. That's why we live a biblical life. And we have standards in our life that please God. Because we love Him. Not to get things from Him. And a lot of people, they'll adopt a standard in the Bible that they read. They find in the Bible a standard and they'll adopt it. And they'll keep it for a little while. But when everything doesn't go their way, they drop it. Why? Because they didn't have the standard because they loved God. They had the standard because they thought they could buy something from God with it. You can't do that with God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's just that simple. See, the reason that we live the way we do is because we are humbling ourselves under the hand of God. Humbling ourselves. Not being lifted up in pride. Humbling ourselves. Saying, God, you have every right to everything in my life. And you can touch it and take it and do whatever you want with it, anything. Because you're God. And I'll live for you anyway, no matter what. Isn't that what happened with Job? The devil said, well, you know, you've protected him. Well, okay, we'll take down the hedge. Do what you want. He's still praising me. Well, you've not let him get sick. Let me touch his body. Oh, if I get to touch his body, he'll curse you. All right, go ahead. You just can't kill him. Still, Job said, he said, naked came I into the world. He said, naked I'm going out. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. See, can you say that in your life? Can you bless the Lord even if he takes things away from you? See, that's one of the indicators of pride. If we can be arrested, if we can be captured for God, regardless of the circumstances. It said here that they withdrew their shoulder from the work, and this happens every time. You need to remember this, that if you're doing something for God and you draw back, withdraw your shoulder, you know this, and this is the next thing that happens every time. I've seen people, oh, they're serving God here and serving God there and doing this for God and doing that for God, and then they decided that they're just going to step back. Never fails. They withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck. That's the next thing that happens. You withdraw your shoulder and then you don't want to get back in the yoke anymore. That's what happens. It's pride. It's pride that makes you pull your shoulder back. Well, God, I've been doing this and I ain't got nothing for it. I thought you were laying up treasures in heaven. Maybe you weren't. You see, you say, why are you saying all this? Because this is the way the devil is. These kind of things are of the devil. We are fighting a defeated foe. Let's look at some of these things about the devil here this morning. Look in the book of Revelation, chapter number 12. The demise of the devil. Look in chapter number 12. He says here in verse number 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The devil's demise began when God shamed him. God shamed him. In his pride, he thought, man, I am the anointed cherub. I'm the one. You know, he looked at himself and thought how beautiful he was. Look in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And look what he says. In verse 12, how art thou fallen, O, from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this a man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Listen, the Bible tells us that he is shamed. We should look on him narrowly. You know, I get tired of people making the devil this big deal. Amen? I get tired of it. People talking about, oh, the devil. My God has defeated him. He has shamed him. He has revealed his pride. He has revealed his sin. He has revealed his nature. He is a shamed foe. I'm glad, praise God. He's revealed who he is. I don't have to wonder. I know that he's full of wickedness. Amen. I'm glad for it. The demise of the devil is that he is shamed. He has been ashamed. I thank God when I'm ashamed of my sin, because I'm not going to be destroyed like the devil is. I'm not going to be destroyed. But he is a shamed foe today. Folks, this says that they would look narrowly on him. I don't think that when we see the devil, I don't think he's going to be this big, giant thing. The Bible doesn't say he's big and giant. It says he's beautiful. But his pride has turned all that beauty to ugliness. So I think when we look at him, we're going to see this shriveled up little mean little dude. Full of bitterness. Full of discontent. That's what he's going to be full of. Full of hatred. And everybody's going to look at him and say, "You did all that? You? This little punk did all this?" I think that's how it's going to look like when we get to heaven. Because of his shame. I don't care how big a person is. When they behave shamefully, how small are they in everyone's eyes? The devil has been shamed. God shamed him. Jesus, speaking in the book of Luke, said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And we all know that verse. But do you know what that accompanies? Is after Jesus sent the disciples out to go around healing and everything, and they came back and they said, "Oh, Lord, we've been healed. And that even the devils are subject to us." Because everybody's mind, the devils were big. They're not big. They're a defeated foe. And he said, "I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven." He said, "Don't rejoice." He told him, "Don't you rejoice. You know, the devils are subject." He says, "Rejoice that your names are written down in heaven." That's what you rejoice about. Stop getting so focused on, like, the devil's some big deal. He's not. He's shamed. You and I have the right to rebuke him. We have a right to rebuke him. God has shamed him. He's revealed him for what he is. He's shown him for what he is. The demise of the devil is part, first of all, in his shame. He was defeated. There is a war in heaven and he lost. Amen. Look in Revelation chapter number 20. Oh, all these things that go on. And I'm not making light of what's going to happen in the world, but remember that the tribulation period occurs not because it is the power of the devil destroying the world. It is the wrath of God being poured out on men. Let us not give the devil credit for something he has no power over. Amen. He is a defeated foe. He doesn't like hearing it. He doesn't like you and I knowing it. And I know there's going to be resistance and trouble because of preaching it. But that's all right. He's a defeated foe. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. He was shamed when God revealed who he was in his book. Called him by name, Lucifer. That's who he is. He's a devil. He's Satan. He is that old serpent, as the Bible says. Look here in Revelation chapter 20. He says in verse number 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he said, Hold on. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. I'm thank God this morning that he is a defeated foe, that the devil is going to meet his demise. Because one day, not only is he been shamed, but one day he's going to be shackled. Going to be shackled. He has spent centuries shackling men. The Bible says that he would shackle them with sin and with the fear of death. And they were always in torments, being afraid. But thank God when Jesus came, when he rose from the dead and he shed his blood for us, that we were made free from the shackles of Satan. But he himself one day is going to be shackled. Think about it. The one who runs around. You know, people think that devil worship is all about people going around saying, "Praise the devil, praise the devil." That's not what it is. Satan worshipers, their main tenet is, do what pleases you. That's their main philosophy. Do what pleases you. You come first. And that's the way the devil is. Listen,
The devil is one day going to be shackled. He goes through this world doing the worst he can. Okay, that's what he does. He's going around right now doing the worst he can, but one day he is going to be shackled, chained up for 1,000 years. And I'm going to be here to laugh about it. Amen? I'll laugh about it now. I praise God. But one day that devil's going to be shackled, and for 1,000 years, he's going to be bound, unable to do a thing, even though he wants to. You understand that? He wants to. But Jesus is going to come down and throw the chains on him and put him in the bottomless pit. 1,000 years we're going to live on this earth with Jesus as King and no devil to spoil anything. Amen. Because he is a defeated foe. Listen, we're going to this year. Don't you go in this year thinking, oh, whoa, look at the world. No. Getting all worried about how bad the world is. How about getting excited about how good Jesus is? How about thinking about what God can do through you instead of what the devil's trying to do to you? Amen. That's what we need to understand. He's a defeated foe. He's going to be shackled one day. He's going to be shackled. And if he hears anything I'm saying, I hope he can hear the chains rattling. I hope he can hear them, because they're for him and not for me. He cannot bind me. He cannot stop me. He has no power over me. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Whatever his worst is, I can survive it. He's going to be shackled one day. I love that. Shackled. Shackled. Look a little further in chapter 20. I just want to remind us this morning as we come into this new year. Man, the devil is a defeated foe. You know, you say, well, that's just 1,000 years. Well, let's look what happens. In verse number 7, it says, then when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You understand the devil's already been judged. He's already been shamed. He's going to be shackled one day, and he's going to get out, and he's going to think he's going to start all over again, but he's not. He's going to have one day, and that day is going to end him up in the lake of fire because God's going to shut him down. God's going to shut him down forever. You notice what it said there. It said that right after the fire devours those who he raises up against the Lord, it says that right after that, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Shall be tormented day and night. He is going to go from that battle of Armageddon right into the lake of fire. And he will be shut down forever. Amen? Totally, totally stopped. Totally receiving from God all that he sowed in this world. Forever. Forever. I thank God. I serve a risen Savior. He died once and lives forevermore. The devil's going to die forever. He's only going to live this once. Yeah. The demise of the devil. His pride. His vanity. What useless thinking that he actually believes he can strive against God. And then his last downfall, his shame. God said there in Ezekiel, he said that when it's all done, he says, therefore I'll bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, I'll devour thee, and And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. God's going to bring him to that place of ashes in the earth. He's going to bring him to that place of utter, complete destruction and failure. And I thank God for that. I look forward to seeing the fulfillment of the demise of the devil. But until that day, I do not fear him. He has no power over me. He is a defeated foe. I do not fear them whom he has power over, because I have a greater authority than any authority in this world, and that's the Word of God. The world can say all they want. They can do all they want. I don't care about that. I have authority from God. I'll never forget the time they tucked me in the office because I wrote something on a dry erase board in the privacy of where I was, where I worked. You had to actually come around there to see it. I wrote something about the sin of sodomy, because it is a sin. I do not hate sodomites. They need help. They need to be delivered through Jesus Christ. That's what they need. They need to understand their heart is lying to them about all that. That's what it is. That's what it is. Your heart lies to you. And their heart's lying to them. And I wrote there on the board what God said the truth about it is. And I had a meeting. I was brought in a meeting. And the guy who was offended by it, almost in tears, quoting, I said, stop. I said, I'll tell you what I wrote. I wrote this. And I told him what I wrote. And they said, well, you know, you could be fired for that. I said, well, you'll have to answer to God for that. I said, it's the truth. And I didn't have any hatred in writing. It's just the truth. But I'm not going to change the truth of the Word of God because of what people threaten me with. That's what the devil wants you to do. I don't say you go around poking people. I wasn't looking for a fight, okay? I didn't write that up there so that somebody who was a homosexual would see it, okay? That's not why I did it. So I'm not saying go out and write offensive things on your windows of your door so that they will see it and be offended. That's not what I'm saying. I didn't write that for that purpose. But when somebody tried to correct me for it, I didn't back away from it. Because it's the truth. Folks, the devil's defeated. And God has said that we are going to rule as princes and kings in this world. We ought to start acting like it. We ought to start acting like it. You know, in World War II, I don't ever recall the Allies asking Hitler's permission to do anything. I never saw that in the history books. Never heard of that. You know, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, they didn't ask if the Japanese would mind if we sent a raid back to Japan. They just did it. They just did it. Folks, don't be afraid to live in 2015 for God. Don't be afraid to open your mouth, because the words you should be speaking are not your own. They should be God's. The devil is a defeated foe. We're going to see his demise one day. Do not live your life in fear of him, because he can do nothing to you. He can bring temptation. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. But you notice, he wasn't able to make him do anything. You need to just answer him with the Word of God. Remind him that he's shamed. And one day he's going to be shackled. And one day he's going to be shut down. You just remind him of that. And you get up and go on and live for God. There's a work to do. There are people here to reach who the devil has power over. He has them in there in his control. And he's the defeated foe. And folks, it's our job to liberate them with the Word of God. You got a work to do. Amen. It's a good work. It's a good work. And you are assured by God that you will have victory. Amen. So let's get to the work. Let's stand to our feet for just a few minutes.